All right.
It's working now. So now we've come to, this is the last of the year, last Sunday before the new year. And all of you know that we're going to be doing the Statue of Perfect Man upstairs for the, at least for the month of January and maybe on into February. So we'll see how that goes, but just keep me in your prayer. Now you all have had 68 sermon backgrounds, so I want some amens and some, I want that sleepy spirit off of you. No. Just because, hey, even teachers have to show up for school. All right? No, you do not have to come, but you do have to nod a little louder than the rest of them. Yeah, just nod a little bit louder. Because we started this in February of 2013. I did not know we started then, but we have. Of course, we've took some gaps in time and let other brothers do the Sunday school class, but I really enjoyed it. But we got 68 here, and we've come up to brotherly kindness. And we've hit on the Holy Spirit, but we're not going to do this until we go upstairs, and then when I come back downstairs, maybe after I get back from the Philippines, we'll start on the capstone or the headstone. But I want everybody to just kind of, we're going to do a review today. We're going to review it back through and take just a minute to expound on something that we've talked about, but I want to read the quote so that you can see it. So what we started with is we start with the foundation. Everybody knows faith is the foundation, right? It's not that you got to have all these and then get the new birth up here. That's not it. That's not the new birth. That says Holy Spirit. That's not the new birth, right? The new birth is justification, sanctification, and puts you in line for these virtues, because these virtues are godly virtues. They're not just virtues that, you have a good temperament. Some guys, you could slap them in the face, and they would say, okay, that's no problem, and be just as sinful as the day is long. Now, that's not godly temperance. Godly temperance is when Brother Branham said, you control your ungodly temper. So you fly off the handle at somebody else, then that's where the problem's going to be. So we've come through this. Let's stay down here for a minute. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Faith, the Bible says, add to your faith, so it must be something you have to have. You have to acquire this faith, all right? When you acquire this faith, then God can add our birth into you, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and then sealed in by the Holy Spirit, kind of like what Brother Joel and I were talking this morning. This is the token. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the token, right? It didn't just come in the end time, that Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost to seal these virtues in did come in the end time. Amen? Because Martin Luther, he could have had some of these, but he never could have reached that capstone. He might have had some of these virtues, but never could have reached the capstone. Nobody's reached that capstone except the Lord Jesus Christ and Brother Branham that we know of now, that we can positively say, because Jesus had to be the head. He was the headstone. He didn't type the headstone. He was the headstone. All right? And when he was rejected, that took that off. But man through the ages, like Brother Jewel and I were talking this morning, man through the ages got the Holy Ghost. The true token. There's never been a false token. It's a true token. Paul, true token. Irenaeus, all these had to have the new birth to have people birthed underneath them. Right? I mean, your leader's got, if your leader don't have the new birth, you don't have the new birth. Because you can only go as high as your leader. All right? So the leader came in B.C. 4, was born, Jesus Christ, grew up, Bible says, grew in grace and knowledge. He grew as a human. All right? But he had these virtues in him because he was the Holy Ghost. He didn't need the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. All right? He didn't need for, but he had an anointing that came on him for his ministry. Is that right? All right? There was an anointing that came on him on the River Jordan. He didn't need the Holy Ghost. You and I need the Holy Ghost. He didn't need it because he was it. All right? He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But there was an anointing that came on him that didn't make him a better person. Didn't make him a better person. It put his ministry in place. Him becoming 30 years old as a priest, he had to come to that age to where he could handle the word. See, he had to type the word out exactly. So he comes to the River Jordan, and the Holy Ghost comes upon him, and Brother Branham said it was the anointing for his ministry. So that's that 3.5-year ministry. Now, where's the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus Christ? Sure, it's in here. Sure. But it culminates right here. Because he was the head. All of his intelligence he had was the intelligence of God. It wasn't the intelligence of man. Okay? So he had the intelligence. Well, see, what did they do when they killed him? They cut him off. Isaiah 53. He was cut off from his generation. He had no children. Right? He had no children naturally or spiritually. Jesus didn't save a person when he was on earth. Right? He didn't save nobody. The Holy, he was the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost. So same way in the end time, but you got to watch what you're doing because you can't say, well, you got to come up here and then get the Holy Spirit. No, you get the Holy Ghost here because you got to grow in grace and knowledge like he did. But he was born right the first time. We weren't. Right? All right. We had to be born again. We had to have a rebirth. Then Peter said, being born again with these virtues, birthed into us, being born again. See, how many times have I said that and you just got it? I've said that for a year and a half, but that's fine. You're slow. That's slow. It's slow. Hey, listen, I don't care if it takes 10 years as long as you get it. It doesn't matter to me. That's why I always heard a quote. A guy said, you know what? Jesus is not going to ask you when you go to heaven. He's going to ask you why did it take you so long to get saved? He'll never ask you that question. He'll just say, enter into the joy of the Lord. He knew when you was going to get saved. You just didn't. So we grow up into this, then there's an anointing comes. That's what we've been talking about. We hadn't hit that as an anointing, but I want to hit it today as an anointing because I want to read something here in just a minute. But we get right here, watch. Let's read this quote, 328 of the Statue of Perfect Man. Now, in building the virtue, building this monument, building this stature, remember it's a stature, not a statue. A statue can't move. A stature is a growth development or measurement, all right? It starts off with the foundation stone, which is here. Now remember too, the head was made the chief cornerstone. Alright, now here's the headstone. He was cut off and rejected. There was no man could attain to that he had, right? That's why Brother Brown puts the type as the pyramids in Egypt. They didn't put the top on it. But remember, you take that pyramid, as I was showing to Brother Jewel, you take that pyramid and you put it right there. There's your cornerstone. Same pyramid. You put the pyramid right. He's the chief cornerstone. So what this is this in its pure form. The true token.
Right.
Or the fullness of the token that come in the end time was this divine love right here. See, you receive divine love when you get the new birth. There's not a love and then a divine love. If you get the love of God, you get the divine love of God. All right? I mean, it ain't. But you grow, though. Being a free moral agent, you decide whether you go in, let God in these doors. Remember, we spoke on doors and doors. Brother Bram said, you let God in your house. I said, then you got a door right here of self-pride and self-this and all that. He said, the Holy Ghost is a timid individual, right? The Holy Ghost is timid. He won't just rush in your house and start opening doors, right? He's very timid. He's a gentleman, Brother Bram said. Now, if you say, now, God, I need you to go in that door, he'll be glad to go in that door and take out your ungodly temper or your impatience with people. But even a Christian, you can say, hey, God, I don't want you going that door right there. God will say, okay. Yes, sir. Yeah. Unlock God. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll help you a little bit. Maybe we'll help each other. But you come in here, and that's what happens, though. See, God's got this. All this is for you. It's in the Holy Ghost down here. But we must, as free moral agents, we must let God continue to do these things in our life. All right? Now, when we get to right here it says, all right, you get all the, we're talking about the virtues, because I'm going to run through this real quick. You get all the virtues. Say you got them all working in your life. You're just to a place where God can really use you. All right? You're just to a place where God can really, really use you like you wanted to. But now remember, as I was said many times before, Paul had all these virtues. Irenaeus had these virtues. Martin, Brother Bram said the first three ages was the perfect age. That white church, the real white church, because they had what? One God right. They had water baptism right. They had all the major doctrines they had right. What happened was that man eroded down through the ages, eroded the effects of the Word. Right? But the Word was always there. You can't kill the Word. But you can't hide it. You can suppress it. Because like I said, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He says, if you don't want that, then I'm not going to give it to you. All right. Eat it all up in here, in these ages. Now, what had to happen, Brother Branham had to come and give a word of restoration because nobody knew about these virtues. Surely they might have been taught on by Martin Luther. But surely Martin Luther didn't have a whole lot of godliness sitting in a pub drinking a beer and smoking a pipe. Because what happens is, and we're going to read it in just a minute, power without character is satanic. Okay? We've got the power. We've got the power. The power is the Holy Ghost. And then we've got a double dose of the power, because see, we got the Holy Ghost plus the perfect message of the hour. We are truly like Elisha. Elisha got a double portion of Elijah, right? Elijah comes to bring a message. Well, we've got the Holy Ghost plus the message. These people only had the Holy Ghost and the message for their day, which is partial word, right? They had part word down through here. But when you come right here, Brother Branham had to be the one to stand and be so close to Jesus Christ where they thought he was. I mean, you look at the man's life, okay? So the headstone did come back in the end time, bringing the true token. But this right here had to be the sealing part, what sealed it together. Remember, you got a head and a body. If you don't have a neck to connect that, everything that goes on in your body goes through your neck. Right? Everything that goes on in your body goes through your neck. It's not a head and nothing and in here. No, it's a complete, Brother Branham said, moving, breathing, instrumentality of God. So the neck had to come to put the two together, all right? Which is the Holy Spirit, the anointing in the end time, the same message that was on Jesus that come off of him in the Gethsemane, right? The anointing left him in Gethsemane because he couldn't die before that. He couldn't die with that preaching anointing on him. That's what I mean. If we ever see that we get that anointing back, we can't die. That's the anointing that will take us in a rapture without death. It's the same one, because remember, they wanted to stone Jesus. They backed him up against the cliff. They did all these things to try to kill him during that 3.5 year ministry. But remember, he said he disappeared in the crowd, or he walked through the crowd. Remember, he got out of that because he was in that 3.5 year ministry. That perfect anointing of the perfect word. Because out of that 3.5 year ministry, that's where Brother Branham brought his message. He didn't bring it from anything different. He brought it from that 3.5 year ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? So he brought it back to its perfection, tied the loose ends back together, and then anointed it power and character. See, he brought power and character. But power without all this character put Martin Luther in a pub drinking a beer and smoking a pipe. You say that's satanic. That was a satanic demon that made him do that. God don't sit in the pub. But the part that was coming was that there was going to be a perfect character coming, but Martin Luther had to play a part in that, but he wasn't the full part of it. All right? So he could do that. He could sit in a pub, smoke a pipe, and drink a beer. You know, now in this day, you can't do that. All right, because the word has moved on up higher and put us in an age to where I believe we're here. I believe the whole headstone is here. But as I've told them before, Brother Jewel, a lot of people in the message think they're right here just because they're in the message. That's a special place right there. That's a special place. There's only two people reached that place that I know of. I'm telling you that we know of that's scriptural and backed up by the message is William Branham and Brother and Jesus Christ. Out of all the millions of Christians in this world, that's the only two that's attained to there. So that's not an easy place to get to. You got to fight your way through it. Hang on a minute. You got to fight your way through all this to get here. This is not automatic just because you're in this church age. Everybody understand that? You start from the foundation and you work your way up, just like Brother Branham had to do the same thing. He had to get born again. He had to grow in all these virtues. Right? Yeah. Hey, he had a lot of this right here. He wanted to kill them boys. Took the gun out. If it wasn't for the grace of God, he'd have been a murderer. Tried to commit suicide a couple of times, but that was in his early part of his walk with God, right? He didn't do that 60, 61, 62. It was back in his early part in the 40s, you know, when he first was beginning to come up. But see, God brought him through all these things. and give him a gift and give him all the things, and he had the power. We all have the power. But we must have the character to go along with the power. Not saying that Luther was satanic, but what motivated Luther to drink, to beer, and smoke a pipe was satanic. So we always say, well, power without character is satanic, so that means that church over there is satanic. No, that don't mean Satan's right here this morning. Satan's right here. He's not anointing them people out yonder. He's already got them. He's wanting to anoint you to keep you where you can't grow. He hates this spot right here because he hates the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Paul we know, Jesus we know. But who are you? That was power without character, was the seven sons of Sceva. They had power. They did not have the character to use it right. Therefore, you see what happened. It rolled right back on them. Yes. You can't make change the body down here. Nobody can't. Sure. There's people in the grave with that right there. Brother Branham's in the grave, isn't he? Well, you had it. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Right. Well, it's like I've always said, the Word's always been there. You can't eat the Word down. You eat the effects of the Word down. Because it's just like I said many times, you take in this room, say this room is the Word. All right, this room is the Word. Now you take and hold your hand like this, and you all hold it up right there. Well, all I see is Brother Jewel. But now that don't do away with the Word. It's still here. Okay? But Martin Luther could only see right there. All this was still Word. This was the power of God. You can't diminish the power of God. Alright? Now you can grieve the Holy Spirit and all those things, but you can't diminish the power of God. The power of God's right here. It's never changing, so it's right here. But we can say, okay, Martin Luther had this much. Well now John Wesley, he had this much. I can see two people now. This one had this much. Now that doesn't do away with you over here. You're still the Word of God. But Martin Luther only had a tube of it. He had one tube. Wesley was a little bit bigger tube. Then you come into Pentecost, had a little bit bigger tube. But see, when Brother Branham came, the fullness of the Word. 1963, I believe Brother Branham was adopted just like the Lord Jesus went on the top of the mountain and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell, hear ye him." That's my thought. Because of the characteristic of what happened. It's on Sunset Mountain. Those angels came down, took him up into that constellation, alright? But it was not because he was just a prophet, it was because of his revelation. Because revelation is what positions you. Revelation of knowledge positions you in knowledge. It's not just a knowledge of. Revelation brings that knowledge, alright? Revelation shows you where you're at any time with God. It's what the prophet says. So you should know where you're at. Because one thing for sure, if you're a child of God, we're going to read it in just a minute. No, I'm going to save it for upstairs. But we're going to see that God's going to try you and test you. If you're a true child, God's going to try you and test you. Right? Because, you know, it's not for His benefit. It's for yours. What were you going to say, Brother Jim? Absolutely. Paul said, they without us cannot be made perfect. So see, Paul stood right here and said, I illustrated many times in preaching. Paul is standing right here and he says, they, the Old Testament, they without us. Because remember, the whole Hebrews 11 is about the Old Testament saints. But they without us cannot be made perfect. But he became a they when he died. And now we're over here, looking all the way down to Adam, that they without us, and as long as we're still alive, we're an us. If we die, we're a they. And then you're waiting on, you know, just like the saints that have gone on before, they're waiting on us because they could not come to the fullness of adoption or to the fullness of the Word. They couldn't come to the fullness of the Word. And they had to, see, listen, because death, either death, cleanses you here or death cleanses you in the grave. One of the two. Everybody understand that? The dying out to yourself cleanses the soul. Right? The old you's dead. All right? Not divorced. Your husband got to be dead. Okay? So it's not that they kill your soul and give you a new one. That's the exchange of soul. I don't believe that. I believe it kills the nature that's on that soul. The nature's killed off. And then God comes in, burns with the fire and the Holy Ghost, and then here you are like future home. Brother Branham said, God comes down with a holy fire, burns you out, cleanses you, and makes you a new creature or creation. And that's what the world's going to be in the millennium. It's going to be a new creation. But you have to be careful with that, because if you're using your types, like we were talking about this morning, you use your type, though, because remember, in the millennium, there's still the devil still there. Jesus is on the earth. The bride's on the earth. The 144,000's on the earth. Satan's still there. That's like right now. We receive the new birth, but Satan's still here. What we're looking for is when he burns it with that holy fire that kills the demons. When we go into the future home. See, not the millennium. The millennium's still in time. The millennium, now listen, to us, we're perfect. We're made perfect here, right? But the world's not made perfect until after the day of judgment, the judgment day, right? Because you got the devil. He's still there. Same way with you and I. You get the new birth, the devil's still there. He's still there. I don't know. If he don't come to your house, he comes to mine twice. Okay? So I get a double portion of him every once in a while. And I don't like that. But we've come to a place, though, where we got to understand that there's, even in the message, and we'll do it upstairs, break it down a little bit more than we did down here. when you say you're typing the justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, you get the Holy Ghost. The fire of God burns that old nature off of that soul, and you're a new creation in God. That soul is eternal. It's as eternal as ever will be. That's eternal. Can't change that. That's the same. But what God's got to do then is he's got to work his way back out through memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. And you really don't deal with see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, because only see, taste, feel, smell, and hear reacts to what's inside you. Okay? Hit a man in the head, you can't see no more, you know. Can't hear no more. That's just bodily function. But where we got to deal with, and Brother Jewel, this is where we all got to deal with, memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. Because if you're born again in your soul, it's only one, either faith or doubt. Not faith and doubt. It's either faith or doubt. All right, you only got one sense. But now that outer realm, that next one, has five. And that's the devil's playground. Memory. Is that what bothers you? My memory is what bothers me. My reasoning against the Word. My conscious of what I've done before. The devil's not going to ever let you forget about them. Imagination. There's no imagination in God. Right? Yeah, there's no imagination in God. And then affection, that's filial love. We have to change that to agape love. It has to be changed. Filial love just going to make you love your wife or love somebody else's wife. Honestly, you know, because it's the lust of the flesh. It's the lust of the flesh. But what we got to do is we got to change. That's why I've said many times with Adam. With Adam and Eve, when she did what she did, and that's what God revealed to me the other day, and maybe a little slow. But, you know, a lot of these preachers preach that Adam had to place his seed in Eve to save her. Well, he didn't save. Sex ain't saved nobody. Ever. Ever. Sex is never saved. Sex is the problem. But anyway, but Adam, that was not. See, they're taking filial love. They're taking filial love and swapping it for agape love. No, the reason Adam didn't destroy Eve was because of the agape love. Right. Took over that filial love. Because remember, if your wife would have come to you, I was telling him the other day, if your wife would have come to you and said, look, I've laid down with the beef. Now, would filial love, what would you do? Kill her. Would you touch her? Really? I mean, would you? Would you touch her with filial love? No, you wouldn't if your wife laid with a beast, an animal. But agape love took over. Agape love took over in Adam because Adam was the son of God. He had the Holy Ghost, right? Agape love took over Adam and went past that filial love and said, I can't destroy her because she's a part of me. Type in Christ in the church. But now his sex act didn't save nobody. Adam's seed polluted everything. Absolutely, it was polluted. Abel needed a sacrifice. If Abel's seed was so righteous, what I believe is truly is that Adam knew he was the son of God. Hey, he controlled everything. God just said, here, you control the earth, I'll control heaven, and I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to leave you alone. You know, Adam, you take care of this world. But when that happened, and I've always wondered, why didn't God tell him before it happened? He's the son of God. God had to allow that to happen. But he had to take Adam to a place to where Adam was the ruler of the world. But now remember, Adam was not a savior. There was no attribute of savior in Adam. He thought there was. Adam thought he could go out and get Eve and bring her back and restore her. He just fell right in with her. Right? He fell right in with her, trying to go out and get her and bring her back. Because he was the God of the earth, but he wasn't the God of glory. There's only one person can save you, and that's the eternal God. Man can't save you from anything. Adam included. Brother Branham included. Can't save you from nothing. It takes God Almighty to save you and restore you. So, you know, that's what I said about Adam. We got to look past filial love. It's got to be the agape love of God that takes over everything. Because remember, brotherly kindness, Brother Branham said, brother does something to you, you pray for him. Brother used to do something to us, we fight him, shoot him, you know, whatever. But we pray for him, okay? Are you going to say something? Oh, I'm sorry, you. Sure, absolutely. Had to set up a type. But Adam got out there and found out he couldn't come back. See, he got out there, he thought he'd go out there and get her and bring her back. But then when he found out he couldn't restore her, sure he had sex with her. Obviously, because Abel came forth. But he brought that to bring another line. To bring another seed line. All right. But anyway, so here we come up to here. Let me read this one. I want to read that one quote here. And what does it do? Then they're waiting for the headstone. Now that's what we're doing now. We're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love. I didn't say we're waiting on it. God's waiting on to put it in us when we say we're ready for it. We can't have it here and not be and be just down here. This is not baby. This is sons. This is mature men. This is babies. This is Abba Father crying baby, daddy, daddy, because you're a baby down here. You're not crying daddy, daddy up here. No. No, you're not. Now, what does it do? They're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love. And He controls, and He is the strength of every one of these things. Yes, sir. All right, let's go to this one right here. All right. Unless we suffer with Him, we cannot reign with Him. You have to suffer to reign. So these are sufferings. These ain't picnics. You got to suffer through this, okay? This is life lesson. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. Because see, the seven sons of Sceva, they thought they had power, but you see what happened. But power apart from character is satanic. Now, he didn't stop there, though. But power with character is fit to rule. You're not a ruler down here. Remember, if you read there in, I believe it's Galatians, a son is a son. You're born down here, you're a son. Right? Heir of all things, but you're under tutors and governors until the time appointed. In other words, that you can hand them a car keys like we were talking about. But power with character is fit to rule. And since He wants us to share even His throne on the same basis that He overcome and sat down in His Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with Him. And a little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when He comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into the kingdom through much tribulation. All right, I got to go hook Brother Jewel up too. So Lord bless you. Just read the statue of perfect man. Read blasphemous names. Yeah, that's fine. Bless you, buddy.